Now on this week's edition of Food Friday, a side dish takes the starring role. Potatoes are one of the most versatile foods out there, and our next guest has lots of ideas and recipes, along with some general advice on making great dinners at home. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How do you like to prepare potatoes and or eat said potatoes? Roasted, fried, braised, baked, twice baked, mashed? Love to hear your recipes, your advice. Do you have a favorite kind of potato? Do you have a question for our guest about what goes wrong maybe when making a potato dish? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Molly Stevens is a Vermont-based cooking teacher, recipe developer, editor, and cookbook author whose books include All About Roasting, One Potato, Two Potato, and her most recent All About Dinner, Simple Meals, Expert Advice. Molly, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Well, it's one of your older cookbooks, but you did a whole book about potatoes. What gets you excited about potatoes that you could put that much effort and love into them?
Yeah, it's a big book, too. It's over 300 recipes. Yeah, you know, Rob, when I co-authored the book with a good friend of mine, Roy Finnemore, and when he actually came up with the idea for the book, I took a moment and said, really? A whole book on potatoes? Because I love potatoes, always have, but I was a little concerned that I might tire of them after, you know, a year and a half or so that it takes to develop all those recipes. But I have to tell you, Rob, I love them more after I wrote the book than before.
Do you have a favorite variety of potato to cook with? Or is it, you know, mission dependent? You like this kind of potato for that, this kind of potato for that?
It's a little of both. I mean, my favorite one is the one that's on my kitchen counter that's about to become dinner. But the variety, that's exactly, I think, what really turned me on to the potential of potatoes is when I first started thinking about it, I was like, well, there's a red potato and a white potato and a russet potato. But once you really delve into it, my goodness, it goes on and on in terms of varieties, and more as our farmers markets and specialty markets and even just regular supermarkets expand the variety that's available. And they all, you know, they have different tastes, they have different characteristics, and yet they're incredibly forgiving. I mean, you don't have to like have just this special potato for this special dish, but it's really fun to kind of go down a potato rabbit hole, if you will.
And stepping aside from potatoes, I mean, potatoes are a good fit for this. In All About Dinner, you make the case that the point that really good home-cooked meals don't have to be incredibly complicated and fussy. Can you talk a little bit about your philosophy of dinners?
You know, I've been cooking for a long time, and I've taught cooking for a long time at a lot of different venues, and you know, the simplest way to learn how to cook is to cook. And the simplest way to cook is to make a meal for yourself, for your household, or whoever you have, your neighbor, whoever you happen to be around. And I mean, something as simple as baking a potato, boiling an egg, frying an egg, doing something, just that simple act of cooking doesn't have to be complicated. And you feed yourself and you discover things and you learn things. I don't know, it develops a self-sufficiency. I can't say enough about how much better things can be if we learn to cook for ourselves.
It's Food Friday. We're talking about potatoes with cookbook author Molly Stevens, author of books including One Potato, Two Potato, and her most recent All About Dinner, Simple Meals, Expert Advice. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite kind of potato, a favorite way to cook potatoes or recipe, or do you need some advice? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can find some recipes from our guest over at WPR.org/Food Friday. Let's, Molly, check one of those out now. It's party potatoes, a mashed potato that is a crowd pleaser. Can you tell us what makes this one special?
Yeah, party potatoes. And I chose that recipe for now because we're kind of gearing up for the holidays, and it's one that I do for the holidays because it's, you know, mashed potatoes are a given on a lot of holiday tables. Maybe on yours, Rob? Maybe.
Oh, yeah. No, I like making mashed potatoes with some pratfalls. Yeah. I'll ask you about in a minute. But
Oh, good. So anyway, party potato is it's a mashed potato casserole, if you will, meaning you can make it ahead. And that's why it really works for me and my situation. I can make it ahead and take it to where I'm going for Thanksgiving. And it gets enriched with a few little extra things, cream cheese being one of them, that adds both a really great tang, but it also gives you this incredible creamy, fluffy, if those two go together, texture that lasts. Because the problem with mashed potatoes, if they sit around too long, they can just kind of get gluey. But yeah, this party potato dish, it's a make-ahead casserole, and you can actually use your KitchenAid blender or any mixer to make it. And then I the party potato version is pretty straightforward seasonings-wise, but I play around with it and add horseradish or scallions or all sorts of things, just depending on, you know, what way you want to go with that menu.
And you just teased my pratfall. Usually my mashed potatoes come out great, but every once in a while they get, I don't know, like oversaturated or something. And like you said, they end up kind of gluey. How can I make sure I never, ever do that again?
Yeah, that's a great question. There are a couple things. The first is going back to those types of potato. The best potato for a mashed potato, the classic, I should say. I want to say the best because there's different ways. But the classic is a russet, an Idaho. I don't know, they go by different things in different parts of the country. But it's a big old baking potato, a big starchy, dry potato. And what makes those so great for mashed potatoes is they're super starchy, which means they're super thirsty. So they love to absorb as much butter and milk and sour cream and heavy cream, whatever you want to throw at them. So they're a great vehicle for a lot of enrichment. Do you know, Rob, when they haven't worked well for you, what type of potato you used?
I think it might have been russet, but it's been a while since I botched them that badly, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
Mostly I'm doing pretty good lately.
Good. I love to use a ricer, which is kind of an old-fashioned tool for mashing the potatoes, and that helps to get a really fluffy texture. Mm. Another really great tip for getting a really dry mashed potato is after. So you boil the potato, right, and then you drain it, and then put the back on the stove in that pan without any fat, without anything, and sort of shake them around for a little bit. And really dry them out before you start adding things.
Oh.
Because if they're not really dry and you try to add things, they're just going to end up soupy and, as you say, maybe even a little bit gluey. So I tend to peel and chunk them in big chunks, like, you know, baseball, golf ball size chunks, not too small, before I boil them. And then as soon as they're, you know, tender, drain them, put them back in the pot, low heat, and just really shake that pot around. And you'll see a film of starchy potato film on the bottom of the pan, and that's a sign that you've got them really, really dry. Then you can start to mash them and slowly add your enrichments.
Excellent. Well, let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Timothy is with us in southern Minnesota. Timothy, hi.
Hi. Hi, Molly. Huge fan of One Potato and also All About Roasting and All About Braising. My question is, I know you've had a lot of students over the years, and you've worked with a lot of at-home cooks, and you were talking about how experience can really, is kind of the number one thing that can help people become better cooks. Are there other things that people can do that would kind of help them accelerate, or become more confident in the kitchen?
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Molly.
Yeah. No, thanks for calling. Yeah, what can help besides experience? Reading. I'm a big fan of reading cookbooks, finding cookbooks you love, and then sort of following the thread of those cookbooks. You know, there's so much online right now that I find it's remarkable how much you can find. And also, you know, friends. I find sharing with friends who like to cook, and I know it's, you know, been difficult over the past couple of how long it's been, but year or so that we've been able to get together. But even if it's we do these potlucks where you know, somebody cooks something and then somebody else brings something and you sort of swap recipes that way. So that's how I help, you know, advance my own, creativity is by sort of surrounding myself with friends or reaching out to other friends or I try something. I say, how'd you make that? Or if you're at a restaurant, you know, to ask questions. And also, I don't know where you shop, but if you do shop at farmers markets and things, I find that farmers can be an incredible source of ideas for how to prepare various things. So I guess those are a few of my, and then tasting. The other thing about cooking that I don't think I talk about enough and a lot of people is when you're learning to cook, obviously cooking is really important, but tasting as you go, tasting your ingredients. I talk about this in All About Dinner, my latest book, but just starting, you know, throughout the whole process, tasting as you're going, and you're going to learn so much about the process if you do it that way.
Thanks a lot for that call, Timothy. We're talking to cooking teacher and cookbook author Molly Stevens about mainly potatoes on this edition of Food Friday. Her books include One Potato, Two Potato, and her most recent, All About Dinner. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite potato, a favorite potato dish? Do you need some general cooking advice, especially dinner-related cooking advice from Molly? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page and find a couple recipes from Molly at WPR.org/Food Friday. Coming up, we'll check out another fancier roasted potato recipe. At least it looks fancier. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up our Food Friday talk with Molly Stevens, author of the cookbooks One Potato, Two Potato, and All About Dinner, among others. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your potato favorites or questions. That's 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls now. Tom is with us in Hayward. Tom, hi.
Hi. Say, I was wondering, in your opinion, what's the best potato for potato salad? When I make it, I typically make about, 5 pounds of potatoes, and I use celery, radishes. For every potato, I put in an egg and a red onion and mayo and then a little sour cream, and it's very good, Lowry seasoned salt. But the next day, it's runny. And I was wondering, am I using the wrong potato? I usually use, like, russets or something.
Interesting, Tom. Sounds delicious. Molly, any thoughts for Tom?
Yeah. Tom, thanks for calling. You said you use russets generally?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, by the way, your salad sounds great. Sounds like a real classic. And depends again. The russet is going to be, I find, a little soft for potato salad. So, and it'll lose its shape a little bit more quickly. So what you might try is going with what we call a red potato or a boiling potato. Some people call it a waxy potato, but the sort of Yukon Gold is another thing. It's kind of a medium starch potato. So it's going to give you a little bit more of that soft texture that you might be used to with your russet, but it's going to hold up a little bit better. So I would say try using a red or white kind of boiling potato, and that might hold up a little bit better. The other thing is it depends on, you said you're using radishes and celery, and those things can start to weep a little bit when it sits in the dressing, especially if there is a lot of that seasoning salt. So, every potato salad that's got that's well seasoned and has a little bit of fresh vegetables, fresh crunchy things will weep a little bit, but it shouldn't get super soggy. So another thing you could do is you could just lightly dress the potatoes that you want to eat that day, that most of them, and save the rest and dress them the next day. Those would be two ways around it.
Tom, thanks a lot. Hope that helps. Before we go back to our callers, Molly, I want to check out another recipe you shared. Again, it's at WPR.org/Food Friday. Mustard crusted roast potatoes. Sounds really good. Tell us about that, please.
Yeah, well, I wanted to sneak that one in, Rob, because the roasted comes. I wrote a book all about roasting, so obviously I'm a big fan of roasted food. And this, the mustard crusted roasted potatoes. It almost, speaking about Tom's potato salad, almost looks like a potato salad before you put it in the oven, because you put a pretty good amount of mustard and olive oil and a little bit of lemon juice. So it's almost like a raw potato salad and then you put it on a sheet pan or a baking sheet and put it in the oven and roast it at a pretty high temperature. And it gets super crunchy. Those really killer French fries that almost have a crust on them. It's a reminiscent of that, but it's got all this flavor in it. So it's a really wonderful, a way to kind of, fancify or dress up your basic roast potatoes. And for that, I do use like a red potato.
And I got to ask, what kind of mustard? We've got a whole museum here in Wisconsin and Middleton about mustard. Which kind of mustard goes into this potato dish?
Well, that would be dealer's choice. It would affect how it would turn out. I like it with a Dijon, but I also like to mix Dijon and a whole grain. But I bet you've got some pretty nice, you know, honey mustards and sort of sweetened mustards out there that would do it too, that would work nicely too. You just want to be careful if you add something that's too sweet, it'll brown extra quickly because of those sugars.
Find that mustard-crusted roast potato recipe at WPR.org/foodfriday. We'll go back to your calls now. Patty is with us in Eau Claire. Patty, hello.
Hi, I make a sweet potato gnocchi, and after I boil the gnocchi, I fry it with vegetables, and I always end up, my gnocchi always ends up sticking to the pan, and I lose some of the potato on the bottom of the pan. Any suggestions about how to resolve that?
Great, Patty. So are you, after you cook the sweet potato, are you then mixing it with flour and things?
Yeah, so I cook the sweet potato, then I mix it with flour, a quarter cup of Parmesan cheese, half a cup of ricotta cheese, and then I mix it into a ball, and then you get the strings out, you know, you roll it out into a string, and then you cut it into gnocchi size.
Yep, and then you boil them, right?
I boil the gnocchi for about 2 or 3 minutes. And I'm just wondering if I'm not drying the gnocchi enough before I put it into the pan.
Yeah, I would say a couple things. I would say you could try adding a little bit more flour, although as you know, the more flour you add, the tougher they're going to be. So if that feels like you have a nice texture, after you boil them, make sure you dry them and even lay them out on a clean dish towel or paper towels if you want, on a plate or a tray or a baking sheet, and really let them dry. I would even refrigerate them for a little bit if you have time, just to really dry them out. And then when you're sauteing them, just make sure you've got plenty of oil or fat or butter or something in the pan. If you do cook with a nonstick pan, that would be a super help there too. But just, I think if you could make sure they're cool and fully dry, that should help you quite a bit.
Thanks a lot for the call, Patty, at 800-642-1234. It's Food Friday. We're talking about potatoes with Molly Stevens, author of cookbooks including One Potato, Two Potato, and All About Dinner. Let's go back to your calls now with Donna in Chippewa Falls. Hi, Donna.
Hi.
What'd you want to bring up?
I always make lefse, and of course I make it with russet potatoes, but someone said you can make lefse with sweet potatoes. I was wondering if your guest has ever tried that.
Wow. I've never made lefse with sweet potatoes, but now I want to try it. I think it's a great idea. The thing I would be, when you make your lefse, you want to tell people how you make it?
Well, I boil the potatoes and then I rice them and then I rice them again and then I rice them again and then add butter and all of the other ingredients and just add the flour just before I roll out the lefse.
Yeah, it sounds wonderful. I think the thing I would caution with sweet potato is it doesn't have the starch of the russet potato. So it's going to be a lot wetter, so you're going to need to add more flour. One thing I think what I would try, and this is sometimes kind of goes back to Timothy's question, when I try to make changes to recipes, I often make incremental changes. Mm. So what I might do is I might make a half sweet potato, half russet potato lefse to start with and see how it goes and judge that way, because I'm afraid if I went all the way to sweet potato the first time, it might just end up a big sloppy mess or I'd have to add too much flour, and then back to the gnocchi question, it's just going to be tough. So I think I'd start by trying a half and half, and it would get this pretty, really beautiful color and some of the sweetness from the potato, but still have that wonderful tender texture that you want in your lefse.
Donna, thanks a lot for that call. I want to take a couple minutes. Yeah, it was. A couple of minutes to talk about braising, Molly, which you've written a book about. We saw a piece you wrote about braising fall vegetables, potatoes and sweet potatoes and all the other great stuff that's up this time of year. First of all, could you just give us the basics of how we braise these root vegetables this time of year?
Right. Braised vegetables is such a... It's probably going to make some for supper tonight. When I started talking about braising, when I wrote the book all about braising, I thought I'd be braising all these big cuts of meat. And of course I did, but braised vegetables, you just get such incredible flavors, especially with all, as you mentioned, the root vegetables. So something as simple as a pan of braised potatoes, you just put a layer of potatoes in the bottom of a pan and add a few aromatics. Maybe it's a sprig of rosemary or a simple bay leaf, a little bit of, it could be water, it could be broth. And then a little bit of butter or olive oil, and just simmer it with a lid on over low heat till they're tender. And you just get, it's one of those things where the, you know, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts, just all these wonderful flavors and tenderness.
That sounds super good. Okay. I'm going to bring you a question that comes up in my life pretty often, Molly. I like to make oven fries. Sometimes they come out nice and crispy. Sometimes they're just sort of soggy fry shaped potatoes. Any advice on getting them crispy more or less every time?
Yeah, if you want, it's that happens to all of us. And potatoes, even though there's, it's russet's classified as a starchy potato. Those starches change during the season or change during storage. So, if you want your oven fries perfect every time, you need to take a cue from the fast food and the restaurant pros. You need to twice cook them. So what I do is I parboil them. I cut them into sticks, French fry sticks, parboil them, not till they're tender, but just so they're just starting to cook. Pull them out, drain them again, then I coat them with a little bit of oil and into a hot oven. And you could do it a little bit ahead, but again, the same thing we talked about. You want to dry them out, and we'll cool them down a little bit, and then into the hot oven, and they're going to, you'll end up with crispy, brown, delicious French fries.
Whoa. Okay, I'm going to skip the rest of the show. I want to go try that right now. Know, Molly, right? Thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a lot of fun.
Rob, it was great to talk to you. Have a great weekend.
You too. That's Molly Stevens, a Vermont-based cooking teacher, recipe developer, editor, and cookbook author. We talked to her today about a lot of the things she's written about. Her books include One Potato, Two Potato. Her most recent is All About Dinner. Hey, there's still time for you to share your Potato Land favorites over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let us know what you like. We actually heard from Darlene on Facebook, who says purple potatoes right out of the garden box, cooked with onions, curry powder, vegetable broth, canned whole tomatoes, and a splash of coconut creamer, cooked for 6 minutes in the Instant Pot. Simple, Darlene says, and awesome. Share your simple and awesome potato recipes on the Ideas Network Facebook page, and check out recipes that Molly shared with us over at WPR.org/Food Friday. I'm going to try a couple of them at home, maybe as soon as this weekend. They sound really good. Also, share your ideas for future Food Fridays. Is there a food or cooking question you want answered, or just something you really like and want to hear more about? You can email your suggestions to ideas@WPR.org, and maybe we'll talk about it on a future edition of Food Friday. Coming up Monday on The Morning Show with Kate Archer Kent, get the latest on resettlement efforts for Afghan refugees and visa applicants. Big part of that story happening here in Wisconsin. That and more Monday at 8 on The Morning Show.